in a pontoon boat, driven by my buddy Mike. Welcome to another Adventures of Green Acres Does Radio. Literally, in order to get this to play, I've got to plug the wire into the headphone jack to come out into the one mixer, which takes it to a thing that turns it to digital, which puts it into the computer. But if I forget this, do the switches. I mean, we were sitting here, why didn't this work? Why doesn't this work?
Did you ever see Down Periscope?
Yes.
We got a little guy underneath the counter connecting wires with his feet and toes and changing things around for us.
That's me. The producer of this show is terrible. Good God, I forgot my cell phone at home. We were going to do all these radio fishing reports, and I finally got one through with Robert's phone, but my cell phone's sitting at the house. So anyway, okay, Mooch, I'm glad you learned how to throw your proper way to cast. Upside down, reeling, you know, use the reel upside down and backwards. That's it, Mooch. Okay, now, let's see. On today, here on Radio Fishing, live and in person, Captain Kale. All right.
Yay.
And we have Terry walking through the studio. Okay. Settle down, everybody. Settle down. That's it. Settle down. All right. Here we go. Okay. Come on. Whoa. That's it. What an audience. What a day. All right. We've been talking about... I was going to go out this morning. I figured I'd get 2-3 trays anyway.
Pretty close. There was lots of ice on the vehicles this morning.
What's amazing.
I'm glad I didn't have to go out today.
You know, I put that joke up on my blog and on our Facebook stuff and everything. And then it dawned on me.
Nobody
if you're 30 years old or 35 years old, maybe even 40, you have no idea what I meant.
No, not one bit.
I mean, to them, ice comes out of the dispenser in the
right.
refrigerator. It doesn't
right.
come out
doesn't
of a tray.
It doesn't come out of a tray anymore.
I don't even think... We went to look for ice cube trays and couldn't buy any.
No, they're hard to find.
You know,
We managed to find some because the freezer at the house doesn't have the door ice.
Oh.
And we took my fridge and put it in the garage.
Yeah.
And we had to run around and look for ice trays. I think Dollar General we ended up finding, but it took quite a bit of running around to try and find ice cube trays.
Yeah, it's amazing. You would just think, it's an ice cube tray. Everybody has an ice cube tray.
Who would have thought the ice cube tray would have went the way of the dodo?
Yeah. Or dodo bird, gone.
Yeah, gone.
Yeah.
It's, you know, I used to miss those frustrating little devices of torture.
Oh, do you remember when it was really hot outside and you'd come in? And you'd go to look in the ice cube tray, and it wouldn't be quite frozen, so you're breaking holes in the top of it, holding up, trying to drink out of the ice cube tray
yep.
to get the water cold.
Yep, and if they were frozen, you'd twist that thing, and half of them would shoot out all over the floor.
Yes.
Or you could never get them out.
Yep. Okay. What a great fishing show we have. God. Okay. I get berated about this, but we are going to get to fishing. Now, you did not go out this morning. You.
No. We had plans actually to go offshore today, and it was a little too cold and a little too windy to go offshore. Cold I can deal with, but the wind was a killer anyways.
The wind and the cold. What was it yesterday? We were sitting around, and you know, we had Penn here, and they were bringing all these specials in, all these rods and reel things, and we're back in there, and they're doing all the pricing and getting everything set up for their, you know, thing here at the tent event. And all of a sudden, we're back in the office, we're having lunch, and it literally felt like God expelled gas. I mean, in a major way. I mean, the whole thing. I mean, God sneezed at that moment because the building shook with that
yeah,
gust of wind.
It just picked right up. I mean, when I went over the harbor was 3-4 foot waves, white caps everywhere, all churned up. It wasn't
and
nice
it was
and clear.
Beautiful in the morning.
Yeah. Not
I
a
had
cloud in
no
the sky.
Idea we were going to get that much wind.
No. Beautiful and, bluebird day.
Yeah. Now, I didn't see any ice at our place this morning.
We had it.
Really?
Yeah, we had quite a bit of ice out there in Ridge Harbor.
Yeah, I was talking to Matt Hegg this morning, and he said using the windshield wipers, he ended up having to get a paint scraper and get the ice off his windshield this morning.
Yeah, that's the funny part is there's no ice scrapers down here, so people have to use different than amazing things, credit cards and paint scrapers. And that's a paint scraper. That's a great thing to take across your glass windshield.
Yeah. Well, you got to do what you got to do. You said the weird part,
you do what we did up north. You go outside, you start it up, you go back inside until it's warm.
And then somebody steals your car. Have you heard about that in Boston?
Yeah, I guess they're doing that in Boston. And that was never a problem in the old days.
I mean, somebody needs to sit, and I hate to say it, guys, but sit in your house with, I don't know if you can do it in Boston. We can do it in Florida. If my car's outside running and somebody comes up to jump in it, one round through the side window.
It pretty much takes care of the problem.
And pretty much nobody's going to do it again.
Right.
I mean, an old lady, 80 years old, here, somebody breaks in her house, she caps them. They really think twice about doing it again.
Well, the nice thing that we have in Florida is we don't run our vehicles to warm them up. We run them to cool them down, and they cool down faster than they warm up.
That's true, too.
Less of a chance for thieves.
But, yeah, they sit and look for the smoke up there in Boston to steal their cars. I mean, I'd be sitting in second-story window just waiting. Come on.
Yeah, really?
I'd be putting smoke bombs off back behind the car. But you'd probably get in trouble for that in Boston.
Probably.
Yeah. I love Florida.
I do, too.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Florida and Texas. Guys, take a lesson. Okay. Anyway. Sorry. I just the thinking of it just kills me. Fishing. We're talking about fishing. You didn't go today. Too
cold, we haven't talked windy. About fishing yet.
Well, we're trying. We keep getting, you know, there's a track here.
Yeah,
just can't find it.
I haven't been out in the last couple days. I had one of my clients couldn't fly down. He was snowed in. And then just with the wind the last couple days, it hasn't been good to get out there.
I think Fish had a big corporate trip, and that's why there was five or six of the guys went out on a big corporate venture. And the problem was... It had to be that day.
Right.
They didn't have a choice.
Right.
So they bundled up, raincoated up, and went out and braved it. And Matt ended up getting lucky. But let's go back a couple days ago. What was hitting right before this cold hit?
I've been doing pretty good on a trout and a redfish, pompano here and there. Trout seems to be the big one.
Let's break it down. Are you fishing in the flats, the deeper water? Where were you doing fishing, or is it by the fish?
It's going to be by the fish.
All right, let's start with pompano.
Pompano, it's probably easier to start with trout because we're picking up the pompano as bycatch fishing for the trout.
All right.
Pompano are tough to really just go out and target pompano.
Right.
But the trout have been hovering between the flats and the deeper water. And when I say deeper water, I'm not talking outside of the bar. Deeper water, inland, your channels, your canals, stuff like that.
So what you're looking for is not going outside of the bar, but trying to find 4+ feet of water inside the bar, either around the housing of Pirate Harbor, PGI, something, a canal,
or store, creek, alligator creek,
river type thing.
Yep. That water is going to be a little bit warmer than the water outside the bar. The water outside the bar is gin clear.
And I'm going to open the door because I'm going to let some smoke out of here.
And the canal water is always dark and murky. It's heating up faster. It's holding that heat longer. So those fish tend to gravitate towards that warmer water.
Don't worry, I'm coming, Cal.
All righty.
So what are you using for bait?
What am I using for bait? Mostly shrimp, and you've got to play around with it to see what they want. Do they want it under a popping cork? Do they want it under a bobber? Do they want it a foot under the bobber or popping cork? Do they want it 5 feet under it? They're being very, very picky. Sometimes that doesn't work. You have to freeline or a small split shot, put it on the bottom. You do have to get out there and play around with your setup to find what they like. The other day it got so specific, it had to be a popping cork with gold beads. They wouldn't hit anything else.
Now, we had talked about that the other night where you, sorry about that, guys. You would think everything would be done, but Kale came in. We had a chance to quickly between customers do one of the shows, and my coffee wasn't ready. So I just had to go get my coffee and my ashtray and get the door open and do all the stuff that should have been done before I did the show. But one of the things about it, and I'm a big fan of the DOA Deadly Combo Popper. I like the oval one, but right now I'm having to go over to the Cajun Thunder. It's got two metal beads and two plastic beads,
right,
instead of the lead weight in the beads,
right,
and it gives a different tone, a different sound, and
gives a different action to your shrimp too when you pop it. It lifts it up out of the water sharper.
Yeah, because without the lead weight, the thing I do like about the DOA right now, that's the detriment, not the help.
Right.
And because the noise is different, the sound is different, the action is different, it doesn't reset as quick, so you can't pop it as much. So that's exactly what you were doing, Cajun Thunder, right?
Yeah, popping it, let that shrimp settle back down, pop it again. Not a whole lot of popping, you know, take your time at it. It's not a race. You can make too much noise out there with them.
Well, it's hard to do with the Cajun Thunder because it's so slow to go back down.
Yeah.
That
you have to wait for it anyways.
Yeah, you're going to wait for it to go vertical again.
Yeah.
And when you pop the bobber, you're snapping it, but the bobber tends to go flat onto the water because of the wire that's in it. It's got about a 6-inch piece of wire with loop on each end. You tie your line to the top, your leader, hook, and bait below it. And then there's a set of beads that separate a foam float. And it's when you pull that wire, it slams the beads into the foam float, creating different noises.
Right.
But until it drops back down, you really can't pop it again. You can make it splash a little, but you're not going to get that good, hard pop sound.
Right. It's not going to sound the way it should.
And so, yeah, it's been, now here I'm hearing it from you, and I heard it from Matt. Now I'm hearing it from you. And I'm falling into agreement on it. I usually did it because it slowed me down because I'm too impatient.
Sure.
I'm a whack job. Let me get to something. Okay, I'm ready to go. You know?
Gotta catch fish.
Yeah. That'd probably be a good one to go in and be psychologically tested for what drugs would make me normal. But
good luck with that.
Yeah, good luck with that. You don't think there's drugs made that are going to fix that. Okay. Anyway, so you've been still doing the popping cork thing on the trout.
Yeah, we're using artificials too. Usually the 17R, gold broken glass. I have been changing some colors up, but the gold broken glass just seems to be where it's at.
Well, the watercolor the way it is, because it's not really clear, it's not really dark. It was nice and clear out there, but it has a tint to it.
Yeah, and that gold broken glass is your perfect mediocre water lure, as far as I'm concerned, especially out there on the flats.
It's such a bright gold. It's not a darker color, and it's that light colored gold that really does good in that light tint. So the one thing I was going to say is, now here we've been talking about, you were using the pop and cork and the shrimp and the Cajun Thunder, the mirror lure broken glass gold. Do you think that's going to hold up next week? Now, last night it got really cold. Tonight it's going to be a little bit cold. But now the daytime temps are going to get, tomorrow's going to be in the 70s. Monday it's going to be pushing the 80s. Do you think this is going to hold through next week, or do you think it's going to be a whole new ballgame?
That's really a tough one to call. We got cold, and we didn't get cold for very long. I doubt
it was low 60s when I was out Monday, the water temp.
It was when I was out on, I think Tuesday or Wednesday was the last day I was out, and it was 65-ish in the middle of the harbor. It's really a tough one to call, Frank. We did get a nice cold snap that should drive them to the deeper water, the rivers and the canals. But at the same time, we're going right back to 70 degrees. So I don't think it's going to have that big of a fact. Okay. I may be wrong. I'm going to go out there and fish tomorrow like it's a completely new day and start from scratch and see what happens.
Now, it's always interesting, the different styles and techniques and stuff like that that people are going through. Let's see. So you're prevalent fish right now. Any secrets on the redfish? We talked a little bit about trout. What's going on with the redfish?
The redfish have mostly been, I've been getting them mostly on the cuts on the west side. And I think that comes down to less pressure. There hasn't been a lot of people fishing the west side as of late because we've had some really, really low tides for the last 2 months.
Well, north wind and low winter tides anyway. Yeah, yeah. It's hard to get to the over the sandbar on the west side.
It's hard for me to get to most of the places that I want to fish. I've got to be very, very careful.
Well, the neat thing about your boat is if you shut it down and go to drift, you can drift through an amazingly shallow bit of water.
Yeah, and that's what I've had to do for the last either trolling motor or pull it in to the places that I want to get to. Rock Creek's been doing well. Trout Creek's been doing well. Stony Creek down in towards the bottom of the west or the middle of the west wall has been doing good. Lots of sheephead mixed in with those redfish. And mostly shrimp on the bottom. And
now, are you using hooks or jig heads?
I use hooks. Now, I like to use jig heads when I'm out there. But with clients, I stick with hooks and split shot. It's just cheaper.
Gotcha.
It's just cheaper. You know, do you want them to throw a $3 jig head and stick it in the trees or a 30-cent hook and a 5-cent chunk of lead?
It does make a lot of sense.
So I stick with just circle hooks and a simple split shot.
Gotcha. The one thing it really is, and when you're fishing charters, you're literally working on nickels, dimes, and pennies trying to make sure, because if you don't watch all that, you're going to end up with nothing at the end of the year.
Sure.
And so
sure. My heart wants to throw jig heads, but my wallet says otherwise.
I get you. Well, there'll be a lot of lure companies here March 14th. Maybe you can get set up with somebody.
Yeah, exactly. That's what you need. You need that corporate backing behind you to help with that stuff.
Yep. And because it's going to be amazing setup with all the people from Pure Fishing and Sabeel and, I mean, Rattle Trap. God, I'm so excited about Wes coming. I love you. Yeah. You're like me. You throw a lot of rattle traps.
Yeah, yeah.
And Wes has been. I met him a number of years ago, and we started chit chatting, and one thing led to the other. And boy, talk about just a great guy. I just became good friends with him. Always look forward to talking to him. And finally, this year he blew off that big show that he always attends about this time.
To come here
and meet the people in Southwest Florida.
How cool is that?
And you know, the good thing is we've grown every since the last 3 or 4 years now. We've been really doing the rattle trap thing. Every year our sales are up and up and up. And he really wants to come down and meet people here in Southwest Florida. You guys are going to love this guy.
Wes is amazing. I want to sit down and talk to him about a tarpon series rattle trap.
Yeah.
You know, we've been throwing them and trolling them for the last 2 or 3 years for the tarpon, especially in the river.
Now, I'm going to say the best thing to do is take his, you know, the half, three-quarter ounce rattle trap and replace it with those new VMC single hook replacements.
And that's an option. I think that would be a great idea. We need some more strength in the lure.
Okay, you need them to run wire in the lure.
We need to get some wire or something, or if they are running wire, thicker wire, we need to beef it up just a little bit.
Yeah, because you're talking, you know, a 1 ounce piece of plastic versus 150-pound fish.
Right, right. They work great on the 40 and 50-pounders.
Right.
I mean, the only reason that we got that one of Austin's in last year was because it hooked itself on the top of the snout when he tried to eat it. You know, if that lure would have been across his mouth, inside his mouth, instead of on top of his face, he'd have probably bit it in half.
Just and crushed it.
Yeah, we'd have probably lost the fish.
So,
I would really like to show him, look, well, this is what we're catching. We need to build it for that.
Right, build a tarpon series.
Yeah.
Because he does build an amazing product. Nice thing is it's all made in Louisiana. I mean, it's as American as you can get. And they're very reasonably priced. You can buy a rattle trap for under $5.
Yeah, and they're very, very open to suggestions.
Oh yeah.
You know, we got the Fish shallow and water trap.
Yeah,
you know,
the built. Shallow water traps yeah. built, and he's even bringing us Fish and Frank logoed rattle traps, which you'll be able to get at
cool
the show.
Is that?
Yeah, I mean they got our logo right on the side of the rattle traps. It's gonna be it's pretty cool, you know.
That will be neat.
They're not going to be free, guys. They weren't free to me, but you know they are going to be very, very inexpensive and neat little things you can get. But like I say,
well, he can build those tarpon ones like that. Just make them gold with a black lettering. They'll work fine.
Yeah. No, we don't need Fish and Franks on the tarpon lures. But it was just fun to have it done once.
Yeah, definitely.
Anyway, the other one that's going to be here, and you've thrown them, you like them, is Sabeel.
No, I've never thrown a Sabeel.
You haven't thrown Sabeel?
I have never thrown a Sabeel. Not a one.
Really?
Yep. Not a one.
I guess it was me and Greg. That's who it was.
I think everybody here has thrown them but me.
Greg is an artist with a Sabeel, and he's the one who really got me to working with him, and I would have never picked the floater, but, man, we waylaid him with a while back, and that's what it was with Greg. Greg was showing me the Sabeels and how to work them.
If you watch the lures that I pick up, you'll be able to see what the issue is.
It's money.
I'm cheap.
I don't blame you. It's $15 a lure.
I don't throw Yozuris anymore.
I don't throw them on general principle.
I'm not throwing $15 lures at bridge pilings and seawalls.
I would be throwing Yozuris, but when a company, and I encourage people, find a different brand. 1 year, they went up $3 to $5. They had no price increase on materials. They had no price increase in labor. They had no price increase on anything.
Right.
There was no reason for it, but they thought they could get away with it. And I refuse to stock more than a very few Yozuris for some of the guys who absolutely need to throw them. But I used to have 6 feet by 7 feet of Yozuri, and I'm not going to support that kind of greed.
I think they're making them out of the same materials as the boats now, because it was no different than the boat shows this year. No increase in materials, no increase in the cost of labor, nothing. And the boats were $20,000 more this year than they were last year.
Yeah, and I'm not supporting that kind of greed. That's why you only see a very couple Yozuris. I've got a few guys that just are willing to pay that extra money, and I don't encourage that, because I can sell you a Rapala, a Storm, a Mirror Lure, a Bomber, Hedden, I mean, all these other companies who make a good living charging a reasonable price.
Right.
And
with a lure that catches just as many fish.
Or more.
Or more.
Look at the Rapala. There's nothing in the world going to beat Rapala and Storm for sheer numbers of fish. Or
no.
Rattle Trap.
No.
Or, you know, I mean, no, I'm sorry. I'm out on the greed.
Yeah, and if you look at those lures, whether it be Storm, Rapala, Mirror Lure, even Bomber, they're all in that $6 to $8 range.
Yeah, I mean,
not 15, not 17, not 20.
Sheer mismanagement of the company is what that is. That's when you have a board of directors who do not know how to manage their money, and the only thing they can think of to make more money is raise the price. I've sat on many, many corporate meetings about, okay, how are we going to increase profits this year? And the first thing they always say is, well, we're going to raise the price.
Sure.
And that simple, I mean, that shows me the company is not smart enough and does not deserve to be in business.
Right. We're not going to take the CEO out of his Mercedes-Benz SLK and put him in a Ford Taurus. We're going to raise prices.
Yeah. No, he wants to go from a Mercedes into a Rolls.
Right.
He's already got the Mercedes. He wants a Rolls Royce.
It makes me wonder, though, are they worth more in Costa Rica now?
I don't know.
I mean, they were already worth their weight in gold before.
Yeah. So, yeah, I would tag him out on
you should be able to come down with a case and buy the country now.
Yeah, I won't. I just won't use one. I will not throw one. So, yeah, that's me, boys and girls. I have a very simple philosophy. I need to charge more money than I spend for the lures because I need to stay in business. I have to make my payroll, my insurance, my rent, and all this other kind of stuff. But there is a level of greed that if you exceed that, you deserve to fail.
Yep.
You know. There's, okay, I want to make a living, and then there's I want to be greedy. So anyway, but back into the fishing. You're going to this is the time to get into Seville, whether it's you, me, or whatever, because he's going to be selling them in some cases less than I can buy them for.
Nice.
I know this. I've talked to him. They're relaunching Seville this year, as you know, because Patrick sold to another company, and that company is Chris is in charge of that company, and Chris is coming with the intention of re-upping the interest in Seville, getting them back into the fisherman's hands, and this is the day to. You get to meet the guy in charge of the company, and he's a real goofball. You're going to really enjoy
him. I hope he's bringing lots with him.
He's got lots.
Because it's for as expensive as lures it is, they fly off the shelves. They are a very, very popular lure.
Yeah, I mean, I think we're around $14-15. Most stores, I think, are 16 to 18. And but, yeah, this is going to be an amazing day. And you're going to have to spend a few minutes with Chris and get the whole thing on him. Greg taught me about, because I had thrown some Seville's, did okay with them, but Greg showed me a couple of tricks with it, and it was really cool.
So if anybody can figure out an artificial, it's Greg.
Oh, yeah. He's psycho with it.
Yeah.
I mean, he's just ate up with it. I don't call him a mangrove extremist for nothing.
Nope.
You know? But anyway, so you're not thinking the fishing is going to change too much, or you're not really sure?
Yeah, I'm not really sure. I'm hoping it doesn't. Because that'll just make tomorrow that much less frustrating.
You know, yes.
If it hasn't changed, I'll be able to do what I've been doing and be okay. If not, then I've got to work for it, panic a little bit, and then put it together.
Now, are you... several of the captains I've talked to, and we haven't really talked about it much on the show, is the guys are taking some shrimp, getting a bag of frozen, and dicing, almost mashing them up into pieces, and slinging a bat full of that against the shoreline, and then holding off for 15-20 minutes, and then casting in there with, you know, edible shrimp.
I've always done that.
I mean, is that something that you've been doing recently, or is it?
I almost always do it, especially when I hit those slots on the west wall. Those fish are usually way back up in those ditches, and they're starting to come out as the tide comes up. They want to get out there on the flats and start looking for new food. And they're coming out with that intention of going out to the flats. And if you're sitting in the middle or sitting on a bend of that, how long do you really think they're going to stick around there?
Yeah, they're either going to go up or down.
And if your shrimp happens to be there when they go through, they may pick it up and eat it. They may not. And if it's not, they're going to go right around you, go past you, and go out onto the flats where they want to be. So I'll always chop up some shrimp blue crab. I love chopping up blue crabs. Just dice them up and crunch them up as fine as you can get it. Mix it up with the shrimp. If I have some white bait, I like to chop that up too, and just get a big old baseball bat full of redfish gumbo and throw it out there, you know, underneath the mangroves, and it gives them a reason to stay there for a second.
It gives them a reason to show up and look around and see what's edible.
Sure. I mean, they're going to come through there anyways.
You know, I always tell people, and when I was younger, you know, I walked a lot. I mean, you'd be walking somewhere, and all of a sudden you sit there and you get this wonderful smell, somebody on a barbecue grill cooking a steak somewhere.
Sure.
And, you know, you're walking along, you smell this, and you go, wow, that really smells good. But does smelling a steak make you want a hot dog?
No.
Not really.
No, it makes you want a steak.
So when you're going to chum for these fish underneath the mangroves, one of the reasons we talk about dicing and slicing the shrimp and getting it chopped up into little fine pieces is that if I'm fishing with shrimp, I want to chum with shrimp. I want to get them hungry for what I'm using for bait.
Sure.
And in your case, you're doing the shrimp and the blue crab or even a little white bait trying to enhance the scent a little bit more.
Yep.
But if I'm fishing with shrimp, I always want to make sure shrimp is part of the chum I'm using.
Absolutely. It has to be.
Otherwise, you're going to put that chum out there, and they're going to spend, you know, you crunch up a bunch of blue crabs and throw shrimp. They're going to look all over for the blue crab.
Yeah.
That's what they smell. That's what they came there to eat.
Yeah, and they will ignore something else. A lot of times, they'll pick it up.
It's a toss-up, but more likely.
We saw this upriver. That little slot by your house that we all used to fish. Throw a shrimp in there. What did you have to do every time? You had to wait for the second bump to set the hook. Because they pick up that shrimp, spit it out, and then go back up and pick it up again. They're in there feeding on a crab hatch. And you throw a shrimp in there in the middle of it. And his nose says, eat that. And then his mouth says, spits it out. And his brain says, go back and eat that, stupid. That was food.
Right.
So, and a lot of times you'll have to wait for that second bump like that. And other times they'll just ignore it completely. That's not what I'm after. And they'll move to whatever it is you've been throwing out there. So always match what you're chumming with.
Well, at least we're in agreement on something. Imagine that. We just agreed.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. That doesn't make for good radio.
Now, here is, no wonder it's so cold here right now.
Exactly.
Below us is frozen.
It froze over.
Yeah, it froze over down there. So, anyway, let's see. What else is on the agenda for today?
I kind of got to get out there and find some sharks. I do have a shark charter next week, and it's the first one of the year, and I always panic on the first one of the year.
But I can't even... Me, personally, good luck and God bless. Poseidon better kiss you on the forehead, because unless you got the fish gods on your side, 95% of all our sharks have left for the Keys. They're down there in that warmer water.
Yep.
And it only takes a couple of days after the water gets up, but I don't really want to do any, you know, shark trips until it hits almost 70.
I was confident until last night.
And that cold weather.
Until last night, I was pretty confident I could put some decent black tips on the boat. And it's going to be real, real iffy. It may be half-day shark, half-day redfish.
I got to tell you. I will say, if anybody can find them sharks, it is going to be you. You are excellent on the shark fishing. You've really got it all kind of dialed in. You did a great job with that.
I don't pat myself on the back very often, but I have gotten pretty damn good at the shark.
Yeah, you're always my first pick when somebody wants to, you know, go out and experience shark fishing, because you've got a great setup with, catching and holding the little ones and working your way into the bigger ones and all that. But I'm not even sure if you can pull it off with 60-degree water.
I'm not either, but we're going to give it a shot. I've got a couple.
How are the bonnets doing? Is there any bonnets?
Bonnet heads are everywhere. Everywhere. We pulled out of Pirate Harbor, and we're just going to go up the bar and just take a look and see what was there. That bar makes a weird curve just above Pirate Harbor.
Oh, yeah. It's so ill-defined there.
It really... make some different water currents in there because of it, and you never know what you can find in there. It's been a great place for pompano over the years. It's been a great place for flounder over the years. And we come out on top of there, and there were hundreds of bonnet heads. Care less about the boat. We were just drifting and watching them for probably a good 10 minutes, and we were drifting straight up the bar, and they were just swimming, and we were drifting faster than they were swimming, and it was just a constant mat of bonnet heads out there. And finally we decided, well, let's throw a shrimp at them, and we must have hooked a screamer, because as soon as he started fighting, they all just disappeared.
Right.
Gone.
Yeah. And it's, I gotta tell you, and it sounds weird, but if you're not on the boat, when you're on that boat and you're standing there, and your feet are at water level, and so basically you're 2 feet over a school of 100 small hammerhead sharks.
Yeah.
Is basically what you're seeing right in front of you. And you would think the first instinct in your head would be go grab a fishing pole and start hooking them up.
Nope.
It literally takes your breath away. I mean, you're sitting there, and there's just hundreds of sharks around you, and to see it and actually absorb it and become part of that moment, you literally will lose track of everything else.
I do it all the time. I do it all the time out there. Go out there, drift that flats, and I can sit on the front of that boat with a rod in my hand and not cast for hours.
It's staggering.
And take a look at the things that you usually don't see. We were drifting across a place the other day, and client was up front fishing. He wanted me to come up there and join him, and we were just throwing artificials as we drifted, and I kind of stopped throwing and let him throw, and just watching around, and all the little baby hermit crabs You've never noticed them before because you don't look for them.
Right.
And I just watching, it was just amazing how many little baby hermit crabs were just littering the grass and other small fry and big hermit crabs and all the stuff that you'd always take for granted and you never see out there because you are always fishing and watching that lure. But I can do it anytime. Get out there, just drift, and just watch and look.
You know, and it sounds different because, yes, it's supposed to be about the fishing, but there's something about being in that moment that, I mean, I've been there and done it and been in 1,000 fish all around the boat and just sit there and looking at it because I know as soon as I pick up the rod, everything's going to change. And it's it's a moment in time. You're going to remember. All of a sudden, you'll be sitting there and just, you know, months, years go by, and then one moment you transfer back to that magic minute that you were just a part of all that. It's just unbelievable to do.
Yeah, unless it's a cobia, then it's an all-out panic. Get the rod!
Yeah. I keep thinking of you with all them cobia going around that morning with no bait in the boat. So, but one of the best pictures, one of the best fish pictures I ever remember was the one you hugging that cobia.
Yep.
That was a great picture.
That was a hard work there.
So anyway, there's the one cool thing about fishing in Charlotte Harbor is there's so much to experience. When I would go out on a charter, and especially springtime and fall when the water's really nice temperatures and everything's moving, I would always have to allow an extra half hour, 45 minutes, because all of a sudden there'd be, you know, mom and the baby dolphins, and you got to stop, and everybody, you know, gets involved because they're all right there next to the boat, and then the sea turtles are there and all this stuff, and I would always have to allow an extra half hour, 45 minutes a trip just because you don't want to blow by it. You want to stop and allow the people to have a few minutes to just soak it in. And you know that it's cool when they don't grab their cameras.
Yeah, yeah.
And when they're not getting their camera.
When they've completely forgotten to grab their camera because they're so lost in it.
Yeah, when there's no camera, no fishing pole, no nothing, and they're just lost in the fish and the wildlife and the being in Charlotte Harbor, which is just one of the coolest things in the world to be.
That guy and that's how impressive this area is. And how new it is for some people. You get to see things that you've never seen before. The gentleman that I had out on the boat the other day spent his entire lifetime going to Africa, capturing exotic animals, and bringing them here to our zoos.
This is amazing. I mean, this guy, literally, if you've ever seen that old John Wayne movie where they would sit on the seats outside of the Jeep and then take a lasso and rope the animals and bring them back alive.
That's
with
exactly
no darts, no,
yes,
you know, capturing these animals and bringing them back to zoos and stuff.
Right.
And this guy lived it.
Lived it. And it was, the more exotic the animal was, the more they sought him out to catch it. His specialty was pygmy rhinoceroses.
I can't even imagine going after a rhinoceros with a rope.
Right. Even a pygmy, even a small one.
I'm sorry, it's a rhinoceros, you got a rope.
And he fished for 5 minutes. And then he put the rod down and just sat there the entire day watching. And we had herons back in there. We had male and female wood storks chasing each other around back in there. You know, the different types of fish. He was just in heaven sitting there looking at everything.
Oh, I've done that.
And I really wish that it wasn't as rough as it was when we came back, because I really wanted to run him upriver and let him see, you know, take him up.
Oh, above the 10,000 birds.
Not just the 10,000 birds, but just get him way up there. You know, where it looks like you step back in time 1,000 years.
Where you go
years.
Back to Africa.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And really get him to see that and see what, you know, really old Florida looks like.
Yeah, it's amazing. And the one cool thing, as we always talk about, you leave under the 41 Bridge, and it's kind of like being in the harbor. And then as you get up, and then you hit the sawgrass areas and the transition areas, and then the mangroves thin out, and the cypress trees pick up, and the oaks and the vines, and it's you literally have three, four different worlds to look at up there.
Yeah, yeah. But it's we take it for granted because we live it every day. You know, as a hunter, most hunters' dreams are to go to Africa and shoot some type of wild game out there, whether it be lions or elephants or even wildebeest,
whatever.
Something, you know. And this guy did that and thought this place was humbling.
Yeah.
And we take it for granted because we see it every day.
Well, Charlotte Harbor now, I remember when Charlotte Harbor was a brand new girlfriend, and now it's my old best friend. You know what I mean?
Not the way I would put it, but we'll go with it.
But you know what I'm saying. I mean, when you went out, sure. And every corner was a new exciting thing and all that, and now it's my most comfortable old best friend.
Sure.
And I go off, and I remember I was offered a big job running a crew on another thing, and I told Terry, I said, no, I'm not going to take that job. And we, by accident, were driving over there, the water on a bridge, and she looked at my face and said, you're taking the job, aren't you? Yeah, I'm taking the job. I got to see it. I got to see that water. So anyway, anything left here? Anything we should go over?
Well, I'd really like to listen to follow-up reports for the next couple of days and just see how right or wrong my thoughts of what the cold snap would do. I'm hoping, like I said, I'm hoping it doesn't change anything. I really don't think it got cold enough, long enough to hurt.
A few degrees.
But yeah, a few degrees, but we were hovering in that safe range in between, you know, fish outside and fish inside, but we'll have to see.
Yeah, I mean, it's just going to depend upon what happens here. And so, anyway, I guess we're going to wrap up a radio fishing. And this is Fishing Frank, and we've got Captain Kale in the chair across from me. And we'd like to thank you guys for listening to Radio Fishing. And try and be here March 14th if you can. It's going to be amazing. Click Kale's picture right next to this. There's links to his website, his instructional page. He goes on other people's boats and shows them where to go, what to do, how to catch fish here in the harbor.
Harbor Fishing 101.
But you can also hire Kale to go on his boat, and he'll take you out and catch your fish. Or, you know, if you get lost in the wildlife, you can do that too.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
But there's so many cool things to do here, be it upriver or in the harbor. And we like, thank you guys for sharing another bit of your time with us. Fishing Frank and Captain Kale, click his picture. He'll take you to all his stuff. Thanks, Captain.
You're welcome.
All right, we'll see you guys next Radio Fishing. Bye-bye.